You're listening to the Penrith Perception Podcast, where we drive discussions about the cogs and gears that run a selective school in New South Wales.
We're your hosts, Snigda and Marlena, and in today's episode, we explore one of the largest capital programs available at Penrith Dance in Richmond. It spans across two ensembles, dance performance and competitive dance. And today, we will be talking with two students, Rashan and Anna, who are members of the dance ensembles.
Together in this episode, we explore what it means to have the opportunity to participate in dance at a selective school. Listen on, and you never know, you might find yourself on stage next year. Okay, guys, to start off, we'd like to do some icebreakers. So we're going to play Never Have I Ever, okay? Are you guys, like, familiar with the rules?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, never have I ever forgotten the choreo mid-routine and just freestyled the rest of it like it was part of the dance.
I did once. In Penrith Valley, where I forgot this one part and I just did something random that resembled like what the move was and okay. I just went with it.
Okay, fair enough.
Did the coach notice?
No, it wasn't like too big of a move. I just forgot to like, it was like a crossing arms thing. You didn't do that.
Okay.
Subtle.
Never have I ever had a costume malfunction right before going up on stage.
Okay, so because our dance costumes are leotards, we're required to wear like skin tone tights underneath.
Yeah.
And they're like pretty sheer, right? Usually the ones that you find at like Kmart or Big W. Mm-hmm. And because they're like sheer, they're like pretty thin and they rip really easily.
Oh no.
So I had to buy 6 pairs of tights for one performance this one time, and 3 of them got ripped in the same night. So I had to keep changing those. It was not fun.
6 pairs.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Just out of curiosity, does the school provide you with the costumes for?
The costumes are provided, but we have to get the tights ourselves.
Yeah.
We just have to buy them in bulk for each individual person.
I think my greatest fear would be if a costume malfunction happened on, like, multicultural day. Yeah. I just feel like that would be, like, the worst thing ever.
So yeah, but then, like, the full traditional costumes too.
Oh my god. I actually did have a costume malfunction one time during multicultural day. Like, I was up until, like, the middle, like, 1 a.m. figuring out all my... Because there's, like... dupatta, and you have to like drape it, right? And then basically my dress, one of the hooks literally like
came off,
and I had to figure out how to hand sew in like 30 minutes and fix my costume in the morning. But
I think I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I was messaging you anyway. So the next never have I ever is, never have I ever made eye contact with someone random in the audience and they didn't break eye contact, so it became awkward.
Again, Penrith Valley, not a nice thing, but I was dancing. I made eye contact with multiple different people, and like it was like none of us would break eye contact because I was too busy in the dance and they just kept staring. Oh. So I had to like look up at the ceiling and then move my eyes around across the entire audience so I wouldn't make eye contact with one singular person.
Oh my goodness.
That's
while remembering my routine.
Never have I ever stopped stretching or doing the exercise when Ellie wasn't looking.
So for the last 3 years, Ellie has basically had the exact same like warm-up routine. But recently she decided to like change it a bit this term. She was gone for like the first two weeks. And then she came back the next week and she had a new warm-up. And it was a lot more intense than what we've been doing for the last 3 years. So Ellie like left for a little bit to like get her phone or something, and I think we all collectively decided to start walking instead, and she came back and she found all of us walking and it was not fun.
Did she get mad?
Well, she didn't seem mad, but because we like started like going back to what we were meant to be doing right after, so we only got like a second break, like a couple of seconds, because she was gone for that period of time. But
I think everyone does that in sport too. Like,
yeah, no, I've never been locked
as
in.
Soon as the teacher leaves, I'm not stretching.
It's always the laps as well. Like, stretching is fine. Like, running laps kind of sends us.
Yeah, when I used to do basketball in Richmond, the teacher would make us do suicides, like running.
And then you, like, run
worst
twice
thing
the distance.
Ever. As soon as you turn around, I'm just walking it.
They're called suicides for a reason.
Okay. Well, to start off, how long have you guys been doing dance for in general, not just dance in Richmond?
I started in India, so maybe when I was like 4 or 5, and then I've just been continuing every year since then.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did my first like on-stage performance at Riverside Theatre in Parramatta in year 2, and then I go to a lot of Gerbas because my dad sometimes hosts them, so I can do Gerba too. And I only started dance this year. I just wanted to see, like, have the experience.
Well, you guys have been doing dance for a while now, right? So what would you say is one moment in your dance journey that's changed you as an artist or, like, even an athlete?
I think, like, change is... mostly for me, it was, like, switching between different dance styles. So when I first started in India, I started off with Kuchipudi. And then I moved to Australia and I continued with that. And I also joined Bollywood at school. And then my Kuchipudi teacher left back to India, so I had to join Bharatanatyam. I think definitely switching between different dance styles has changed me as, like, an athlete, because it teaches me to, like, adapt to different situations, learn different styles, and, like, collaborate with different types of people.
For sure. Did you guys ever find that performing on stage was, like, scary or difficult?
I think everyone has some extent of stage fright. Yeah.
No, that's really interesting. What about you?
I don't do much performances on stage. Yeah. So, like, if I'm dancing on stage, I'm, like, really, really nervous. And when Ellie says that we should smile, like, for the entire performance, just keep on smiling. But that becomes a natural thing, because whenever I'm nervous, I can't stop smiling. So I'm smiling throughout, like, any rehearsals or any on-stage performances, always.
It just makes you look enthusiastic, ready to... Just out of curiosity, what performances have you guys done this year?
We've done Pulse Alive,
okay,
Penrith Valley, Mid-Year, and now we're doing Penrith in Performance.
For non-comp dance, the first song that we did was Drops of Jupiter. We performed that at Penrith Valley. And the songs that we're going to be doing in Penrith in Performance are Drops of Jupiter and Her. And then for comp dance, we did The Fire for the Mid-Year ensemble. And then for Penrith in Performance, we're doing The Fire and Voodoo Child.
Wow, that's so many performances. Since you've been so involved in school dance especially, you must have been, you know, spending a lot of time with teachers, you know, connecting. What role do you think your teachers had in shaping your confidence in completing these dances?
For me, well, it's like Ellie's always, like, telling us, like, she's making sure that we're confident and ready and we know, like, the dance in our muscle memory. So that helps me, because it's sometimes if I forget the dance, that's not good. Like, it's not in my muscle memory. So that's why we rerun the routine multiple times so we know. So I find that very helping, so that I'm not, like, too nervous when I'm on stage and performing.
I feel that the good thing about Ellie is she doesn't just, like, view us as her students to teach. She connects with us on, like, a more personal level. So even if it's, like, not dance, if we have shared interests outside of that, she, like, talks to us about that as well, so that we feel, like, more comfortable with her. And I think that's very important coming from a teacher, because it, like, makes your students calm, like, and able to work with you.
Yeah, I think teachers play, like, a huge role in our ability to perform, and even in whether it's dance or our academics or sport. About that, how do you handle those mistakes when you practice or perform?
I think most mistakes come from not having it in your muscle memory. I think, like, everyone already knows the dance in their head. Like Arna said, rerunning it is what helps us handle those mistakes, because doing it over and over again gets it in our body, and then we'll be able to perform properly. If the mistake does happen on stage, though, what Ellie always tells us is the audience doesn't know your routine. So if you just smile and you continue with the dance as normal, they wouldn't even know that you made a mistake. So that's how we handle those.
Yeah, like Roshan said, Ellie told us that the audience won't know our routine. So if we do make a mistake, it'll look a little different from the other dancers, but you kind of just have to go with the flow and then return back to the original dance, even if you make a mistake.
Okay, yeah. I think that's the best way to handle it. Have you ever seen those videos of, like, the K-pop dancers with, you know, it shows them with the muscle memory? Like, they play the song and they just start dancing. Yeah. I don't know, that just reminds me of that.
You know, you've practiced, you've, you know, spent all this time building up to the dance, but how do you handle, like, nerves before performing or competing? Because, you know, obviously you could know the dance so well, but still, you know, there's that little bit of nervousness there.
Like I said before, I can't stop smiling. So that helps when we're required to smile on stage. But usually I just try not to really think. that I'm going on stage with multiple different people. Like, I just think, oh, there's only a few people there and I don't really pay attention to the audience. Like, I'm looking at them, but I don't take, like, their faces into my mind. So it's like I'm just practicing, to me. And that kind of helps because I don't see, like, multiple faces just staring straight at me.
I feel like I have a very, like, just get it over with sort of mindset. So I don't really think... I think what makes people nervous is... They think, oh, I have a performance. It's this, like, really big, significant thing. Like, it's going to change my life forever. I think when people think like that, it stresses them out a lot. I think it's more important to just remember that they're doing this for fun, for enjoyment. It's definitely important. But when they think of it as, like, life-altering, like, if they make a small mistake, it's going to be the end of the world. I feel like that's what makes them nervous. And I think just trying to enjoy and have fun with your friends can help calm those nerves.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you're with your friend to dance, you get to perform. And I'm sure some very unexpected things have come from that. So what's the funniest moment that's ever happened to you on stage or in class?
I don't really think there's... Well, if there... I don't think there's anything, like, funny, necessarily. Yes, it's mostly just people just making, like, minor mistakes. Okay, and I don't know, yeah. It looks like a TikTok dance all of a sudden or something.
Have you guys
and then we laugh for a bit.
Have you ever tried like a TikTok dance and it like didn't work out or anything?
That's the TikTok dancer.
It's not like it didn't work out. I did one for fun. It was a K-pop song by TXT called Happily Ever After. And I did it with one of my friends when she came over and we were supposed to be studying for PDH. But we tried it and it actually looked really cute. It didn't fail or anything, but we got bored and we tried that. But I don't think I've ever actually... And then, actually, I did another one, which I posted on my Instagram. I did it with one of my other friends at the train station. That one, it didn't fail. It looked kind of nice. So none of them have ever failed, but I have done two.
No, that's really good. Obviously, we don't want them to fail, so...
You know, dance has been so fun, and it's, like, a really big... Is it... Would you say that it's, like, a huge part of your life at, like... an identity at Penrith?
Yeah, well, I do two, like, enrichments, mm-hmm. VA and dance. So both of them I've been doing this entire year. Mm-hmm. So they play, like kind of, like, a big part in, like, my school life. Because yeah. I do those, like, every week.
Yeah.
So I go on, like, performances for dance and I do, like, ceramics for visual arts. So, yeah, they kind of play a big
so
part.
So how do you guys balance your school, friends, and, like, dance and other enrichments?
So I think having extracurriculars is very important, not just like for the sake of having outside hobbies, but it also does help with your schoolwork. I think a lot of people have the mindset that you can't balance work and schoolwork and friends if you have extracurricular commitments. But it's very important to teach you like scheduling, especially because let's say you have like an exam and you also have dance like that same morning. It teaches you to like, you know, manage your time better. So I think there's definitely no issue trying to balance the two. Also, because it's before school, I think that's a good thing. Because if it's after school, I think that's when most people study or that's when they have other commitments. So I think the timing of dance ensemble helps with balancing it. And the thing with friends, my friends are at dance enrichment. So yeah, no need to like manage that.
No, I totally agree with that. Now that Snigdo and I are going into senior school and... we have, like, our academics and we have to balance everything. I find that, for me, I do VA in my spare time. I find that it's so helpful, like, to break up my study periods when I'm drawing or when I'm doing...
So, yeah, same here. I think it's very valuable skills which we can take into multiple different areas.
Is it something you can start anytime or...?
I think a lot of people think that you need to have some sort of like prior experience to be able to become a dancer, but I don't know what the saying is, but you need to start at some point.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
If you keep thinking, oh, I don't have past experience, I can't do this. Every single dancer that exists right now had to have started at some point. Right. So why not that be today? Like Arna said, she started dance this year, like dance enrichment this year. I've been doing it for a while, but we're still in the same group and we still do the same routine. I don't think it's ever too late to start dancing.
I completely agree with that. And thank you for that. If you could just like a fun question, if you could create any dance costume, like just no limits or any criteria, what would it look like?
Well, we were talking about this earlier, just out of plain fun. But I feel like having like a skirt like up to the knees, made of like mesh, so it's like flowy, and then of course shorts underneath, and then for the top, like having like a V neckline with like mesh, and then like clear, right, and then like on the sides like a cut, and then it could be like red maybe, I don't know, and then with like gold, I feel like that would be really nice.
Wow, that sounds like such a nice costume.
What would we do? Oh my god, what? We didn't think of
this. Me personally, I love, I'm actually a dancer too. I've been dancing for like 10 years now. So if I could do a costume where I like had no criteria, I would do like the most flowy, long, like gradient skirt. Just like something that's like nice that I can spin around in.
Yeah, I agree. I think that'd be so fun when you're dancing. You just see the fabric.
I feel like I would actually ditch the leotard. We've had a leotard like every single dance performance so
just
far.
Traumatized from
yes,
it.
Yes, definitely. And the tights too. We need the tights with the leotard. I already explained the costume malfunction with that. Definitely the skirt. I think every dancer that's had Ellie can agree with that. Ellie adds like a lot of like spins. I feel like she does that a lot in her routines. So it looks really nice. We have that in our costume this year actually, so...
Well, Snigda, do you want to speak about your dance experiences?
I mean, sure. Well, I actually do Bharatanatyam as well. So I started out way back in year one. So this is like my 10th year of doing it. And I still remember my very first lesson. Like, do you still learn Bharatanatyam or?
I actually started Bharatanatyam earlier this year. So up until now, I've been doing Kuchipudi. Okay. But my teacher moved back to India, so I switched to, like, a similar dance form.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how are you finding Bharatanatyam? Because obviously the dance that you do in Bharatanatyam is very different from what you do in school, right? Like, how would you say they're similar and different?
The similarity definitely comes from, like, scheduling, like I said earlier, and having that commitment. But differences is obviously just in the dance style and the community, because the Bharatanatyam class is a lot smaller. I feel like everyone is, like, closer together. Dance enrichment is more about teamwork as a whole, rather than building personal connections, I feel. But, yeah, that's really the only difference. Other than that, it's just commitment to dance.
Yeah, for sure. That's really good. Also, for those who don't know what Bharatanatyam is, it's actually a classical Indian dance form. And it's actually one of the oldest dance forms in, like, history, period.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'd say it's really fun too, so I enjoy it a lot. Yeah, so that sounds amazing, you know, like, I feel like dance isn't just something that you can learn. I think it's something that connects so many people, you know. You can be a professional, you can be just, like, doing just dance, for goodness sake, but it's, like, as a dancer of 10 years, I just say, just enjoy the moment, because at the end of the day, if you mess it up, you mess it up, but... Like, after you finish, like, I don't know if you can relate to this, but for me personally, it's just how I feel after and during the dance. Like, I've been nervous, I've been, like, completely crashing out, but the moment the dance starts, I just, like, forget everything. I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this because I enjoy it, so let's just, like, have fun with it. And do you guys feel like, how do you feel right after a dance performance? Like, do you feel the same way, or...
I think it's normal to, like, hyperfixate on every little mistake you've made. But, you know, like Ellie says, the audience doesn't know. I think it's important to just have fun with it.
Yeah, I feel like, in the moment of the dance, like, of course, before it, I'm really nervous. And then after it, I'm, like, thinking about, like, my tiny mistakes. But then I realize that the audience won't really know that we made these mistakes. So there's no point in stressing over them. But then throughout the entire performance for me, it feels really thrilling, because it's like, oh, I need to make sure that I know this part, and then the entire performance.
Yeah.
Well, looking to the future, we know you guys have Penrith and performance coming up. Do you guys want to share anything about that? How's that going?
I feel like the rehearsals are going pretty well, because all we've been doing is warming up and then just going, like, all out with both of our routines, so to get it in our muscle memory. And like I said before, that's really good, because at Penrith, we need to make sure we make no mistakes. because we got like a really big audience there.
Yeah, everyone has tickets and
yeah. So as long as we make sure that it's in our muscle memory, and then on top of those two dances, we have to learn the finale as well. That's like we do that by ourselves.
Okay.
For the rehearsal next week.
What's the finale song? Sorry.
Viva la vida.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's like a dance for that which we have to learn ourselves before rehearsals next week. Make sure we know that for the actual finale. So other than those three dances, I feel like as long as we have enough muscle memory, we should be fine for stage.
What dance are you guys looking the most forward to?
Probably the most recent dance we learned was Her by Block B. It's a K-pop. Oh, but nice. I really like the dance for it because it's like really like lively, outgoing, like happy. It's like got like a really upbeat music.
From non-comp dance, I'm definitely looking forward to the second dance, Her. It's actually very energetic. I feel like I'm into those kinds of dances rather than like the lyricals and stuff that we've been doing. I like those like hyper sort of dances. And then from non-comp, I'm looking forward to our new dance as well because we haven't performed it before.
Do you guys for Penrith and performance, do you perform in costumes as well, or do you have to be in the school shirt?
For Drops of Jupiter, we have like this really nice gold like full costume with the leotard and a skirt, which we've performed in at least two times now. And for Her, I think it's just like maybe jeans and a shirt, like a top, but not in school uniform. Yeah.
And then for comp, our first dance was like a leotard sort of as well.
It's always the leotard.
Yeah. And this like layered red thing, it's actually really pretty. It's got like six sections on the skirt.
Yeah.
And then for our second performance, we're wearing like red, blue, white, and black. So we get to pick our own costumes for that one.
Oh,
yeah.
That's actually really cool.
We just have to have like denim in common. But other than that, we get to pick our costumes. So. Yeah.
Because the last time we participated in Penrith in performance was year seven.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had to sing the Titanium, was that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was...
Okay, so me and Marlena clearly aren't, like, vocally gifted here, but... okay, yeah, we're, like... No, trust. We have to believe in ourselves, you know? You know, like Rashan said, like, you never know. We can try today. We can start. It's never too late. But we... I'm sorry. We were doing Titanium, and the amount of voice cracks I heard,
everyone was singing. It was so funny. It was great. It was a great time. And we had to wear, like, the school shirt. That's why I was asking. Yeah, it said Penrith and Performance on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Miss Kush is making us wear, like, the same shirts this year, like, everyone for the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to order those. I think year seven, the whole cohort singing was just traumatizing for everyone at Penrith.
What song are they singing?
I don't know what they're doing this year. We had to do that song from Encanto. Forgot what it's called. How far? That's Moana.
That's Moana.
That's Moana.
Is it the We Don't Talk About Bruno?
No, it's the what's her name? Isabella? Isabella's song.
Oh, I think like singing in year seven in Penrith and performance, just a canon Penrith event. It's just part of the lore, guys.
No, but I really think it built like our grades connection.
Yeah, connection. Like after that, it's just a shared experience that we all will never forget.
It was fun. I miss that.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Did you guys in music, did you ever do this song called the Mickey Mouse March?
Yes. The boys groups like did not take it seriously at all. They would get up there and sing the most random stuff. It was so funny.
I remember like for our year seven camp, we all got in one big group and started singing the Mickey Mouse March. It was the stupidest thing.
No, because we were so locked in. And AJ was the one like leading like the choir or something. It was really funny, but like it was like a moment for our grade. You're all far into your dance careers now because you've been doing it for about a year now? And you've been doing it for multiple years, right?
Like 9 years, I think.
Nine years, yeah. Wow. Okay. You're good. Well, since you've been like so far into your dance careers, what advice would you give to a young dancer that's just starting out?
I think it's okay to be nervous. But I think it's important as long as you go there with the intention of having fun and not with the intention of being perfect. it's normal to like make mistakes. It's okay to like be nervous at the start, but what's important is that you're passionate about what you're doing.
For me, I just started dancing in fit this year, but in my culture, I'm Gujarati, so we have this traditional dance called the Garba, and I've been doing that basically my whole life. I think since I was like 4 or 5, I've been doing Garbas. So my advice would be like, it's okay if you don't know, you just have to try. Because I was at a Garba earlier this year with my friends, and they don't know Garba. So I was teaching them, right? But you just got to be patient, and you got to, like, you know, take your time to learn actually how to get, like, the dance moves. Like, you don't need any, like, past experience to start dancing. You just have to make sure that you can, you know how to, like, actually, like, learn the moves in your muscle memory and make sure you remember them.
And to kind of close off, what does it mean to you to have the opportunity to be in a dance ensemble here at Penrith?
I think it's important to be a part of the school community. There's a lot of ways to do that. There's clubs, there's other enrichments. But dance itself is already a group sort of task. And I think it's important to build teamwork and to build that like school spirit with other people.
Yeah, like same for me. I feel like it helps a lot more in, because instead of just like studying 24/7, you have like a break from studying. You get to do dance in the morning or any other extracurriculars. And I feel like it helps you connect with people better because you can make friends while dancing, like the people you're next to. And yeah.
Yeah. All of these enrichments that we have at our school, I think are really important in representing our school to the broader community and showcasing. It kind of shifts away from that idea that we're just academics. Our school has such a broad range of talents, from sport to dance and even music. Our school does a lot of music showcases and stuff.
There's like 20 enrichments. Like, there's so many ensembles, but they're all amazing. Like, I hear them every year.
Yeah, each ensemble at our school tries their hardest to present the talents that they have. And I think that's really amazing that we get the opportunity to participate in those kind of activities.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Like, we really appreciate it. And thank you for sharing your words and experiences.
That's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed hearing all about the dancing that goes on at our school and the work process that goes into putting stars on stage. Thank you so much to everyone who shared their interests and creativity with us today.
Thank you for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Penrith Perception, a podcast made by the Multimedia Leaders. To support us and be notified when new episodes are released, feel free to follow us on Spotify. You can also find us on Instagram at The Penrith Perception for more news and upcoming episodes. This podcast was recorded on Darug land, always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
The Penrith Perception is executive produced by Snigdha Nishani, Marlena Hanna, and Dimitri Skardanis. Mixed and edited by Sachika Chakraborty and Jasmine Sohi. Scripted by Studi Biswas and Arne Deng. Graphic design by Abby Chi and Mariam Ahmed. Music composed by Preetam Telugu.